going. Here we go. We are blessed tonight to know that Jesus came down and turned our night to day. Amen? We're so blessed tonight to know and be in that position that Christ did that for us. Can't get over that. How a sinner like me and Christ come down for me. And he did it for y'all also. Praise God for that tonight. He's so worthy of our praise tonight and our worship. Have this title over him if I'm over, brother. I do thank you all for allowing me to stand before you. I don't take that lightly. I am humbled at that. I thank Roger for having faith in me to allow me to stand in his spot. This is a holy spot. And I'm so grateful for that. So thankful for God and how he is doing things in my life. I just can't thank him enough for that. Thank you for every brother and sister here tonight to listen. I just pray that God will use me tonight. He will give me the words to say nothing more, nothing less, to help us tonight. I want to help y'all also help me. You know, what God give me is just a spur of the moment this evening, and I just thank him that I'm able, and I give him all the praise because I ain't saying that I wasn't a little nervous because where I'm at, the position I'm standing in. You know, we serve a holy God. A holy God. I mean, he's above all and above everything, our God that we serve. But that's why I say I just pray that he use me tonight, use my clay lips to help us tonight. I hope he just speaks through me and gives me words to say that will uplift us, help us in our walk with him. But in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start in that area. I'm going to read a few different verses, just something to set the porch here, but nothing particular because the night subject, I guess I'd have to read over half the Bible. And we ain't got time for that. I know y'all, when y'all see me tonight, y'all's probably thinking, what time are we going to get out tonight? But last time I think I held y'all over and over, but that's God's timing, not ours. And I pray y'all just give me mercy for that because we got to listen to him. But just a few verses that just popped in my mind this evening, and I just jotted them down a little bit to get me a little bit started. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. I can even see it. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen to that. What a blessing it is tonight that we can stand here before God and say that we are sure, if you put your faith and trust in Christ, that we for sure that we are sealed with that Holy Spirit. That's a promise from God, and we can stand on that tonight. That's a position that nobody can knock us off of that. If you're truly saved tonight with the Spirit of God in you, nobody can move you from that spot. No one can take you from that. You can't lose it. If you got it, you cannot lose it. Thank God for that promise tonight. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. There it again. Amen to Christ that came down, shed his blood for us. Amen, amen. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. There is no one that you know or no anyone that you do not know in this world that loves you more than Christ. God sent his only begotten to come down to die for our sin. There's no other love than that. That is a love that's all past all understanding. It is no greater love. That's an agape love that God shares with us. Then verse 13 of chapter 2 there. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. Praise God for that. We all were so far from God at one time, and because of the blood of Christ, He drawed us to Him. I'm thankful for His patience. I'm thankful for His... Boy, He did. He just waited. He waited. And what a lesson is that to us tonight, that we should have that patience that He showed us, that we should show others that same patience. Y'all can be seated. That's just a few verses that just come to my mind. It's just something to build that porch so we can walk through the door of God's Word tonight. This is something that has been on my mind for a little bit that I really didn't know when He called me. Well, I don't want to use something that I've already got wrote down. I just ask God to humble me and just give me something just for Him to take it and use it, you know, and to give me the ability to do that. That I put my faith and trust in Him tonight and just allow Him to just give me something, you know, instead of me trying to do it man's way. I want to try to listen to Him, and I want to try to obey Him. Well, I know through the Word of God and through the short time that I've known Him here, praise God, like I said, for His patience. 39 years that I wandered out there in this sinful, nasty world. And then one day it was time, you know. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. But this is something that's been on my mind a little bit, and He just added to it. But knowing your position, because the walk that I have with Christ and the outside world, knowing your position, I think is very important to all of us tonight. We need to know what position we stand in. We need to know that, are we saved or are we not saved? We need to know who our Savior is. We need to know who to follow and who not to follow. We need to know our position in Christ. And I say that because if you don't know your position in Christ, you're never going to be in the will of God. You're never going to be there. You're going to struggle. You're going to try to do things your way. And the devil's just going to eat you up. But when you know your position in Christ, you know with a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, you have Christ living within you. And we've been talking about that in Sunday school, about follow the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a sign of being saved. But because I just want to help us tonight by saying that we have to follow the Spirit of Christ. And you cannot follow Him if you're not saved. I pray everyone here tonight knows Him. But knowing your position, you know, in the first three books of Ephesians, tells us who we are. Tells us who we are. So we need to know that position where we are. Then the last three tells us how we should act. There's words knowing that position. If you've come and professed and confessed and received Christ in your heart, and you say you're saved, you should know how to act. Especially if you've been walking with Him for a little bit or been safe for a little while. It don't change just overnight. You have to put effort in it. It's up to you. It's that free will. God is standing there. He's wanting to do His work in you. But if you're not willing to submit to Him, then it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, He gives us more than salvation. When you get saved, you don't only receive salvation, you receive His righteousness. You're in His righteousness. You have the authority over the enemy. You have that authority, and that's part of that position I want us to understand tonight. Because we have Christ lives within us, we have that authority over the enemy that pounds on us every day. We got to understand that. What position are we in? Knowing the position we are in changes everything. It changes our whole life. It changes every circumstance in our life, in our families, in our homes, in church, outside of the church. Knowing the position that you're in, knowing that you are a child of God versus thinking you are. And I say that because I've experienced that. I just experienced that yesterday, matter of fact. You know, at work. praise God that He just gives me the ability to witness to them, guys, and just to try to show them Jesus' love every day. And it's hard, but with Christ, I can do that. And I thank Him for that every day, every morning. I ask Him to lead and guide me and give me that strength. Humble me to where I'll serve Him, you know. But a lot of them just deny Him, and they don't want nothing to do with Him. But all we can do is plant that seed, because He's the one that waters the seed. It's our duty to plant it. And for a long time, I struggled with that, because when I got rejected, I was like, am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? And I think because of that tonight, there's a lot of Christians that are not spreading the gospel. They're not witnessing because they're afraid they may mess up. They may say the wrong thing. But as a Christian, we're supposed to be reading the Bible. We should be in tune with God. And when you're in tune with God, He will give you the words that you need to say. And He will also give you a discernment when to shut up too. You know? I had that experience the other day at work, you know. I finally had the opportunity to talk to this guy. Finally called him myself. And when I thought about that, I thought about the woman at the well. You know? I was thinking, there's always people around, people talking. And I'm like, Lord, I know You want me to talk to him, but is this the right time? Then I just thought about the woman at the well. That's because I read my Bible. I thought about that. What did Jesus do? He sent His disciples into town so He could have His alone time with her, so there wouldn't nothing be interrupted, didn't He? When we understand God in that way, God will use you. God will make things happen, like He did with this with the woman at the well. Because we know through the Scripture what the disciples do when they came back. What did they do? They did exactly what Jesus knew they would do. That's why He sent them into town so He could have a long time with her. He didn't want no interruptions to telling her about who He was. And I had that position, and it just came to my mind. I'm like, okay, Lord, whenever I get that opportunity, I'm a witness to Him. And I asked Him about Jesus. I asked Him about, and he don't know Jesus. Because all He would say was, my God is Ollie. I'm like, whoa, I had to step back because I wasn't expecting that. But anyway, I tried to tell Him that Jesus is the way. You know, there's only one God. That's the God of the Creator, the God that I serve. I don't know where He got His God at, and I just pray for Him. Not down Him, I'm just going to pray for Him. God will just tweak on that heart, because it's going to take God to do that. It's going to take God to work on him, because he seemed pretty firm on it. But I didn't doubt Him. I just told Him Jesus is the way and the only way, you know. But just pray for this guy. Then another one, you know, I experienced that he knows Jesus. He's saved. He used to be in church. But what did I say a while ago about the last part, about the way we should act? So many Christians today, you can't tell if they're saved or they're not saved. You can't tell anymore. They'll tell you they are, but you step back and you look, and the Word of God tells us you'll know by the fruit that they bear. Well, His fruit is sour. You know, and I just told Him about Jesus and about Christ, you know. He says, I know Him. But He's living in the world, living like the world. So all I could do was just say, if you know anything about the Bible, you say you know Jesus, all I can tell you is that Jesus said you better be prepared when He comes back. You better be ready. You need to know Him when He comes back. He says, I've been ready for a long, long time. So I thought, well, I'm done, you know. I'm done. God's got to take over now. He's going to have to. Because I don't know if He is or He ain't. But either way, He's living in the world. So he needs to come back to God before it's too late. And we need to pray for the ones like that, you know. But just things that, I'm just blessed that God puts people like that in my life. And that's why we're on this subject position tonight. We need to know our position. We need to know who we are. We need to be prepared and ready to meet Christ. Because we, God, He's a holy God. I don't know if any of us in here tonight can probably with 100% sure say that I'm ready to meet Christ right now. Not saying that we're not saved, not saying that we try to live for Him the best that we can. But we're talking about a holy, holy God. You know, I consider and say I'm ready for Him to come and get me tonight. But am I really ready for Him to come tonight? You know? Is there anything that you haven't confessed of? Is anything that any unforgiveness in your heart? Is all these things that's unpleasing to God in your heart tonight? You know? Has there been somebody He put on your heart to witness to and you ain't done it yet? You know? What if He's asked someone of you to come up and sing a song and you've not done it yet? I'm not talking about a deep, deep sin. I'm talking about any sin. Any sin, I'm talking about anything that God has asked you to do and you've not done it. And they go, what? Well, how deep is it? It gets deep. You know, worrying is a sin. Do you ever worry? Do you ever repent of that? How many would just look over that? We all have a tendency to worry at times, don't we? Health, our loved ones. We worry about them. We worry. I worry about salvation for these guys. But I have to ask God to forgive me and strengthen me to where I won't worry about it and put the faith and trust in Him that He's going to take care of it. Instead of me worrying about it, all I need to do is get on my hands and knees or my face and ask Him to take care of that for me to where I don't have to worry about it, where I have a clean heart. But there's so many sins that we overlook that we've got to face a holy, holy God with. A holy, holy God. So do we realize tonight that we are in a spiritual warfare that we did not start? Every day of our life, we're in this spiritual warfare that we did not start. It started from back in Genesis in the Garden of Eden. And we didn't have nothing to do with that. But we have to fight that every day. But the good news is, God gives us the tools to fight that spiritual battle every day. But we have to be willing to receive those tools that He gives us. But I promise you tonight, God is not going to give you something without giving you the tools to take care of it with. And the tool He gives you, I promise you that it will take care of it. And if you stand that the tool is not working, then it's man's tool. It wasn't His tool. He gives us the Word of God to fight the evil with, the demon, the devil. He gives us the Word of God. He gives us and tells us throughout the Word of God that how we defeat any and every circumstance and purpose in our life. He gives everything like that to us. I'm grateful for that. Because if you say you don't understand it, I promise you, if you'll pray and if you're really seeking Him, He will show you that. You know, I was told once one time, and I'll never forget it. I've been praying and praying, and I just hadn't got an answer yet. Well, you're not praying hard enough yet. And the example was, if somebody was holding you underwater and you were fighting for your life to get air, and if you seek God that way, you will find Him. You will find Him. Because I promise you, if someone's holding you underwater and you ain't got no air, you're going to fight for your life. So if you humble yourself enough to go to God that way, you will find your answers. You will find what you're looking for. So tonight I want to talk about a vehicle. And y'all probably go, this is probably the craziest sermon I've ever heard. This is just something God put on my heart. Because, like I said, just a short time of just thinking about something, but asking the Lord to give me something. I know a lot about vehicles, so it's just something coming to my mind. You ever was? But anyway, We'll talk about the devil's vehicle first. Talk about the devil's vehicle. There's about five things that I jotted down. I'm sure there is multiple more, but I just wrote down five for time's sake, or time anyway. But the first vehicle that the devil uses is people. People. And you go, I don't understand. What are you talking about? God uses people. And devil uses people. Because a lot of people want to think, well, God uses people, and he does. He puts people in my life. I'm so thankful that he put people in my life whenever I confess and repent, because if they wasn't there with me to get me on that road and get me started and give me understanding that the devil is going to be working on me, the devil is going to try to get me to quit going to church, going to try to get me not to go to Sunday school. But God does use people, but the devil uses people in a way that's multiplying today, I believe. He uses people so don't let the devil use you, and don't let people cause you to do or to miss out on a blessing or doubt the promise of God. That's what the devil will do. He'll use people in your life to get you off course. He'll either use them to get you to gossip about somebody. He'll use people in your life to keep you out of church. And I have brothers that don't go to church like they need to because they have other friends. It's not really good for them. But they'll come by and they'll say, we're going to go do this tonight. You want to go? Well, I was going to go to church, but I guess I'll go. He will use people to keep you out of church, keep you out from Sunday school. He will keep you from coming up here and singing. He will keep you from coming up here giving a testimony. You hear what I'm saying? The people, he will use people in that way. The second one he uses is circumstances. Circumstances. Don't avoid your circumstances and don't avoid the Lord. Because the Lord will use your circumstances to help you. But if you avoid your circumstances, you're going to avoid the Lord. So he knows that. He knows if he can get you to try to like block the circumstances out or get discouraged about the circumstances or anything in your life, then you won't be obeying the Lord. Because as we understand and we know that our circumstances, we can learn from our circumstances. And God uses them circumstances to help us, strengthen us in all them ways. The third one the devil uses is fear. We know in the Word of God that fear is not of the Lord. Fear is of the devil. God is not going to give you a spirit of fear. Because the world's against you. Why would he give you a spirit of fear? He gives us a spirit of strength, a spirit of love. You know, that's the things that God gives us. He don't give us fear. Fear will cripple and paralyze your faith in the Lord. That's what it will do to you. Fear will cripple and paralyze your faith. And whenever you fear something, all you're going to do is serve the world and not the Lord. Because you have to overcome those fears to serve the Lord. I've experienced that a long time back. I used to be, any of you know me, I just wouldn't stand up in front of nobody. I wouldn't talk in front of nobody. I wouldn't do none of these things that the God has helped me do now. Because the fear that I had in me was crippling my faith. But when you really humble yourself to God and say, God, I'm weak. I have no strength to overcome this. But I'm going to praise you, God, because I know you can remove that from me. And he will start working on you, and he will remove that fear. And when he removes that fear, you will start serving him. You will start being faithful to him. Discouragement. How many of us ever been discouraged? Every day, probably. There's something tries to discourage you every day of our life. The devil really uses that. Because he knows if he can get you discouraged, you're not going to come to church, you're not going to come to Sunday school, you're not going to read your Bible, you're not going to pray, you're not going to witness, The list just keeps going on. When he can get you discouraged, now when you get discouraged, you'll start thinking negative. You'll start talking negative. Things will come out of here that you'll regret. When things come out of here, you'll regret, because normally you wouldn't say the things that you say when you're discouraged. And the fifth thing that the devil uses tonight is our past. How many times since you've been saved that the devil's brought your past up? Do you remember all the things that you used to do? You think God forgive you for them? How about what about when you did this? What about when you did that? Did God really forgive you? You know? But knowing your position in Christ, you can kick Satan. You can kick him. You can kick him out. You're behind me, Satan. I am washed by the blood of Christ. You have no power over me. You have no power over me. I've been bought and sealed. You can't touch me. That's the position I want us to understand tonight that we're in. We have authority. We have power over the enemy if you're saved tonight. We have that power. Because all he does is wants to bring up your past. And all we got to do is say, the God that I serve, the God that washed me clean, he nailed them to the cross. They're over. They're done. They're done. They're done. So if the devil ever brings up your past, tell him they've done been forgotten. They're over with. They're done. So now let's look at God's vehicle. God's vehicle will fully support you, unlike the devil. The devil wants to use you in his ways, but he's not going to be there. He's not going to be there for you. He just wants to get you when he can get you for his purposes and discourage you and keep you from serving God, keep you from following God. But God's vehicle will support you. And when I said vehicle, I was thinking, like I said, I'm a car guy, so I was just thinking about a vehicle. And the reason why, I guess, because I use vehicle is because probably every one of us in here has a vehicle, don't we? A car. That's a car. Every one of us here probably has one. We drove one to get here. Do we cherish that car? Are we thankful for that car? Do we depend on that car? Do we have faith in that car, like David said last Sunday? Do we have faith when we get in, it's going to start, it's going to take us somewhere? Like Brother D was telling us earlier, he walked 3 or 4 miles. Without a vehicle, we would have to walk everywhere. So do we depend on that car? We do, don't we? We depend on that car every day. Peter, take us to work, bring us to church, take us to the grocery store. Just anything that you want to go or you want to do, we depend on that car to get us there, don't we? So to say that, for us all to understand that we depend on that car, I'm going to say tonight, if we depend on Christ like we depend on our cars, every day, we get up early in the mornings, we get in that car, we have faith that that car is going to start and take us to work. Early in the mornings. Some of us get up 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever, go to work. But why don't we have our faith and trust in that car to bring us to church? 10 o'clock for Sunday school. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. The first one is protection. That vehicle of God gives you protection. And we all know what we're talking about here, because Brother Roger's been hitting on it, been speaking of the umbrella protection of the church. If you're in the church, there is a hedge of protection around you. If you don't come to church, you don't think there's a need for church, then you're out of that net. You're out of that protection of God. I'm not saying you ain't saved, but I'm saying you're out of that protection of God. What does it say about forsaking the assembly of God? Pretty deep. Pretty deep. But that protection, if you think about a car, That car has body panels all the way around it. All the way around it. It's got body panels that protects you. The car got body panels. God, when you're in the house of God and when you're serving God like we're supposed to be serving Him, there is a protection all the way around you that protects you. He gives us the ability in the Word of God to defeat the enemy and defeat the negativity of this world. So there's body panels all around us, and that's His protection. Unlike, I know there's some motorcycles in here, riders in here, and I like motorcycles too, but I'm just saying, a car, you have a panel around you, you have protection around you. The reason why I want to use the illustration of a motorcycle, that motorcycle will take you anywhere you want to go as well. But that motorcycle has no protection around it. You're open to the world. There is way more chances of you getting hurt on that motorcycle than there is in a vehicle. Because there's no protection around it. So if you're saved tonight, but you're not in the will of God, and you're riding that motorcycle, there's no protection around you. And I know you say, well, God protects me on my motorcycle. And yes, He does. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, that's the illustration I want to give you, that with God being His protection, He protects around you. There's a body panel of that vehicle that protects you. The second one is support. He supports us. He holds us up. He gives us mobility. He gives us. And when I think about that support, I think about the four cars on the car. But here's the part that He gives us that ability. But He also says that we must keep them fully inflated. Huh? We must stay prayed up. We must stay read up. We must be in the house of God when we have opportunity, not forsaking the assembly. We need Sunday school for wisdom and knowledge of the reading of the Word. We need to be out there witnessing for Him. These are the things that support us. When we do the things like that, He will help us. He will support us. He will give us the ability to do those things. But we are the ones that has the free will to keep the tires inflated on. If you don't want to serve God, you don't want to come to church, you don't want to read, you don't want to pray, your tires are going to be flat and you're going to be stuck. In a battle, that spiritual battle we're talking about, you have to fight the devil on your own. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. The third one is power. Our power comes from God. Without God's power, we can do nothing. He's divine, we're the branch. Without Him, we can do anything. We can't do nothing. It's all about Him. So He gives us that power. And I think about that power, we all know it takes an engine to move the car. Well, for us to move and do His work, we got to have His power. His power is what moves the vehicle. It's what moves me every morning. I get up. I thank Him for allowing me to wake up. I thank Him for the abilities that I can walk and use my hands. I can see, hear, you know. Taste the foods I like to eat. You know? He's the one that gives us those abilities. And the fourth one is guidance. If you allow Him to guide you in your life, every day, not just Sunday morning, but every day, if you allow Him to guide you, the guidance system is the steering wheel of the car. And we all know that steering wheel in that car is a very important piece, ain't it? Huh? Where would we end up if we didn't have the steering wheel? It goes where it wants to go. And it's going to end up in a ditch or something worse. So if we get up in the mornings and we don't allow God to guide us through that day, most likely we're going to end up in a ditch somewhere. We're going to end up in a situation that we're going to say, how did I get here? Because you didn't allow God to guide you. You know, in that position, and you go, well, positioning your steering wheel. Here's what I thought whenever He gave this to me, but I don't know how you drive the car. I don't know where you put your hands on the steering wheel. But I know if you put your hand on the top of your steering wheel, and if you turn right, the car's going to go right. You put your hand on the bottom of the steering wheel, you turn it right, the car's going to go left. So is knowing your position important or not? It's important that you know your position in Christ or you're not in Christ. It's important to know that. Because all roads are not straight in this world. They're not straight. The road we want to travel on is the straight and narrow road. But we have to allow God to use the steering wheel to lead and guide us in that path every day. Because if not, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to have the enemy. We're going to be opening the door for the enemy to get in with us. And when I say that, for the time's sake and all, but you can just elaborate on that all night. Anything that you do that's not pleasing to God, all you're doing is opening the door for the devil to come in. That's all you're doing. You know, the God has a kingdom too. The devil has a kingdom, but it's a dark kingdom. And what I'm saying about that is, the kingdom that the devil has is a dark kingdom. He cannot work in the light. So when we get in that position that he warned us in earlier, the fear, the discouragement, and your past, that's when he sees you falling and getting in that dark area. And when you're in that dark area, then he will use that. Because he cannot prosper. He cannot do anything in the light. But if you're driving this vehicle of God's vehicle, that thing is lit up. That thing is lit up, and the devil don't want no part of that. He don't want no part of that. But don't give the devil an inch. He will take it. He will take it. So here we have the four things of God: protection, power, support, and guidance. The only way to get these four things of this vehicle, the protection, the power, the support, and guidance, is to be in the will of God. Be faithful. To be faithful. If you're not faithful, and if you're not in the will of God, you're not obedient to God, these four you will not endure. You will not experience these four things we're talking about tonight. But if you do those things, you experience these four things that we're talking about, the vehicle of God tonight, your life is going to be a whole lot better. That's what I was talking about earlier. You will have that authority over the enemy. You will have that. God's position. When you're in God's position, you're God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. He will use you if you follow him. God never leaves nor forsakes us. Hebrews 13:5. Amen to that. And when you're in that position that I'm talking about tonight for God, when you know that he's never going to leave you or forsake you, whenever trouble comes your way, you know that he's still with you. You know that he's there with you. You can overcome the things that the devil's throwing at you because he is with you. He is not going to let you down. Another important verse here is John 10:28-29. No one can pluck you out of God's hand. Is that a position that we need to stand on tonight to know that nobody can move us? God is holding us in his hand. He's got that support all around us. He's protecting us. He gives us the mobility to serve him. Praise God for that verse and that promise. You know? How about Philippians 1:6? He which began a good work in us will perform it to the day of Christ. That tells me, when my day's rough and I'm hard and I fail, I know that the Lord is still going to use me. All I do is ask him to forgive me and help me overcome that. But to know that verse that he's never going to forget me. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. He's going to use us until the day of Christ comes back. Today, people struggle today with problems in their lives because they have no authority over the power of the enemy. It's going to be a saved person. You struggle life because you have no power over the enemy. And because you have no power over the enemy, it's because you have never allowed the authority of God to be over you. You never will have authority over the enemy unless you humble yourself and allow God to be the authority over you. And that happens in all of our life. That happens in our household. That happens in the church. That happens in our life. That we must know that God has the authority over us. And when we realize that He's the one in the authority over us, we can have the authority over the enemy. Because I promise you, if you try to fight the devil and man, you're going to fail. You cannot fight a spiritual battle with anything of this world or the devil. You cannot. You cannot fight him. Right? We have to have the Spirit of God and His tools. As a matter of fact, we just need to allow Him to fight our battles for us. That's what we need to do. Instead of trying to do things our own. How many of us have tried to do things on our own? Huh? How many times do we do that? We try to put our marriages together. I've tried it several times. It don't work. I try to do things our way. It don't work. You have to ask God to work in your marriages, in your workplaces, in your family's lives. Because we all have family members that can get really under our skin sometimes. Don't we? We have. I mean, we do. But we need God to help us. Give us patience with them. To help us. And allow Him to fight that battle for us. So people today try fighting a spiritual battle with the earthly man. The earthly man tries that. It will not work. It will not work. Matthew 11:28. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Just give it to Him. Just admit that I'm weak. God, I'm weak. I can't do it. But I praise you because you can. You know, I praise you that you can. Just let me rest and let you take care of it. Because he wants to. He's willing. He wants to. It don't matter how small or how big your battle is. He wants it. All He's doing is waiting on you to admit that you're weak and you can't do it, but He can. We talk about what the Bible says, don't we? I do. I mean, whenever I try to tell somebody about the Bible, I try to tell them what I know about it. But what we really need to do is let the Bible speak to us. We need to tell people about the Bible, but there's times in our life that we need to sit down and let the Bible speak to us. We need to let God speak to us. But what I'm just saying tonight, it's very important to know our position where we stand. It's so, so important in our spiritual walk. And it is a spiritual battle that we fight every day. And Satan is working extra hard every day to get to it. And I know a God. I know my Savior that don't never sleep. He's working for me all the time. And He's working for you all the time. There's a spiritual battle going on that we don't even know about. Spiritual battle. That spiritual battle is so deep that we overlook it. We think that everything is down here. We think everything down here is fighting the flesh. It's not. It's a spiritual battle. The angels fight for us every day. The messengers that delivers from God. And if we don't drive this vehicle of God, we hinder them blessings coming to us from the angels. We hinder that. They can't work the way God wants them to work and deliver what God wants them to deliver to us if we have the things in our life that's unpleasing to God. Like I said earlier, you have unforgiveness in your heart. You have hatred in your heart. There, I can just keep going on and on and on. The things that God is not pleased with, if it's in our heart, we are the ones blocking those blessings from God. We are. Then we want to sit back and say, why ain't God answering my prayers? Why ain't God done this for me? Why has God not done that? You know, It's all about us as far as letting God work. But what we do is all about God. Everything we do should be all about Him and not about us. But I've witnessed this myself. When you do something for God, and if your heart, even just a little bit, thinks that you need glory for it, your blessings, it stops. And sometimes you can't control it. It's the thought. It's your thought that does that. But I'm so thankful tonight for the Holy Spirit to say, it's not about you. Your thought just robbed you from that blessing. So then that makes me go to God and say, I repent. Lord, you humble me because you're the one that's merciful. Your grace is greater than any wall that's between me and you. Your grace is sufficient. And that you will help me not receive any glory for anything that I do for you. Because if we humble ourselves in that way, because that's His will. But that is His will. Again, I just pray that tonight that we will just see the position we're in. Pray that it will change our lives to know that. And if not, we have opportunities to get that part right. You know, we have that opportunity. We have a good God that's forgiving. He wants to forgive you. He wants to help you. He gives mercy. But tonight, you know, I was thinking, then I'll close, about this word, but because what I'm trying to say is our God is a holy God. He is. He is a very holy God. And I always pray myself that I never draw back from Him. I always want to serve Him the best that I can. Because I know that the Spirit that's all around us every day tries to draw you from Him. Now don't it? It does. It's constantly trying to drag us away from God. We fight that every day. But I was thinking the Assembly of God. That's really been on my heart about forsaking the Assembly of God. And a lot of people, and I say that because I've experienced it, like I said, I experience it that people say they don't need church, they don't have to go to church. But my question to them is, why do we come to church? What's the main purpose we come to church? To worship, to praise, to be with other brothers and sisters that serve the same God. We don't want to praise God and worship God alone, do we? We don't want to do that. We can. I do at home. But I'm saying I'd much rather be here with y'all tonight, praising and worshiping our one and only Savior, than to be by myself. So why do we forsake the Assembly of God? So come to that, and because I used to be a heavy racer too, I could sit home and think about racing, or I could go and be assembled with the other racers, and we all after the same thing. Ain't that why we're here? We're here to praise and worship one God. And we want to do it with other people. Why does people go to big football or baseball stadiums? You can watch it at home by yourself on the sofa. Why do we go and be around thousands of people? Because we want to experience the ball with other people that want to experience the same thing. Why do we go to our children or grandchildren's birthday parties? Why can't we just call from home and say, happy birthday, I love you, and I'll send you a gift? We don't do that, do we? We don't miss a birthday party, do we? But do we ever miss a service to hear from God? Huh? Yeah, we do. But you can't be in that assembly of that birthday party if you're home by yourself. You don't get the same effect, do you? There's nothing like being in the assembly of God here tonight. You can't get that at home. You can't get that at work. You have to be assembled with the same people, same one that believes the same and wants to be the same. You know. I just express that knowing your position tonight. And I'll repeat myself over and over, but it's just something on my heart that I know that we need to know of what position we're in tonight. Because God is coming back. Jesus is coming back. God is going to send Jesus. Because only God knows. Jesus don't know. We don't know. So many people think they know. They're wrong. But I know what the Word of God says. He says, I know, and He only knows. He says, be ready when I come. So what are we going to be doing when He comes? Wouldn't it be bad if He comes and we're all somewhere else and missing the assembly of God? What are you going to tell Him? You'll have to tell Him that He already knows your heart. That was more important than me. I mean, your blessing could be just right around the corner and you miss it all because you weren't there. No. That's why I try to never miss the Word of God. You may be praying for something for 5 years, 10 years, 3 days, it don't matter. But the first time you miss a service, that may be your answer. That may be the time that God speaks to you. And because you wasn't here, you missed it. Then you want to blame God because you ain't got me. I love you all. I thank you all for coming tonight. Bob, you want to come? Well, thank God. I hope it all made sense to you.